Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shadowtonians.
You've entered the Shadow Nation with your host, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Demon Hunter.
That's me. Hello, over here in the corner. I'm waving my hand. Pick me. Pick me.
I'll pick you every time, buddy. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker, the world's listening. How about you? They want to know, Spreaker.com, Planet Paranormal, Geeky. Geeky Antics Network. Yeah, serious geek, silly fun, Nathan. GeekyAntics.net. Our friends over at Attentive Home Healthcare, AttentiveHHC.com. Good people, ready to help the ones you love. Check them out, AttentiveHHC.com. The SYL Project gives, share, everybody needs. Nathan?
I need love.
Everybody needs love. The SYLProject.org. Welcome back. So glad to be with the best fans in the universe, right here on the Shadow Nation. Ooh, we're back. We are back, my friend.
I feel back.
Yeah, we are.
I hurt my back. Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, you've had quite of a week, man.
You getting Oh my gosh, what a week.
Bit by dogs, everything.
Bit by dogs. You know, I haven't been bit by a dog since I was 5 years old. What the heck is up with this?
It
was a friendly dog. I was petting him. We were all friends. Yeah. I turned my back for a second. All I hear is, and clamp right down on my leg.
I guess he didn't want you to stop petting him.
I guess not.
Dog bite. So that's two in your lifetime. I've never met anybody that's been bitten by a dog twice.
Well, technically, yeah. I got bit in the throat when I was a little kid.
How do you technically get
bit in the leg? But, you know, I've been playing with dogs and they nip my hand.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't count that, but because that's playing with a dog. If you're going to be stupid enough to roughhouse with a dog, you know, you're going to get a nip on the hand or something because that's how they play with each other.
Right.
But.
Play with the bull, get the horns kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But this has been the first time which went out of the blue. A dog has just gone clamp and bit down on me. I bit a dog once, though, so maybe I deserve it.
And a shark almost bit you.
Yes. Well, no, I was playing with a Rottweiler. Well, I wasn't playing with a Rottweiler. The Rottweiler didn't like me, and it would sit in front of me every day because it was my roommate's dog, and it would just growl at me. It would sit there going, rawr, rawr, rawr. Yeah. Finally, one day, my roommate walked out of the room, and I said, Crashy, if you don't knock it off. I'm going to bite you. And the dog sat there going, gar, gar, gar. And I said, Crashy, I'm going to bite you. Gar, gar, gar. And finally, I grabbed the dog by the neck, pulled him up, and bit his ear. And he ran away going, yipe, 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 yipe.
Remind me to keep you away from my dog.
Your dog and I get along just fine.
Zoe. Zoe the killer pit bull slash.
Yes. Zoe and I, like, roughhouse. And, you know, that's the sweetest pit bull. Well, all... 99% of all pit bulls I meet are sweet dogs.
Well, yeah.
It takes a real jerk to turn a sweet pit bull into a nasty dog.
Unless they've been trained to kill. Kill. Kill.
Although I will say that if Zoe's between me and Sissy, then Zoe gets protective.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, except for me. She'd let anybody kill me. It's just, I'm a liability to her. I could take her bed away. That right there in my spot where I sleep. She likes to have that. So, anyway, Nathan, speaking about these ferocious train-to-kill things, we got some killers coming up. You know
we
what I mean?
Do.
Yeah, we do. Ready?
What do we have coming up tonight?
Tonight's guest. You hear the music, everybody.
I hear the music.
Everybody hears that music. It's classic. It's iconic. Anyway, tonight's guest, guys. He hit the scene in 1986 when he began his pro career in the world of professional wrestling, in the NWA and the NCAA. In 1999, he jumped off the top rope and smashed into Hollywood. He's known for his epic roles as Sabretooth in the 2000 version of X-Men, King Ajax in the movie Troy. He also teamed up with director Rob Zombie as Rufus in the cult classic The Devil's Rejects. And, of course, his iconic role, Nathan. His
tell
iconic. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to do it. His iconic role is everyone's favorite sister-killing, Halloween-loving, madman Mr. Michael Myers in Rob Zombie's Resurrection of the Halloween franchise films. Tonight, actor, director, producer, Mr. Tyler Mane, from Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2 and much more, stops by the Shadow Studios. Right here, the mystifying oracle of radio. Nathan?
Yes?
The Shadow Nation. I love that music. I could listen to that music all night.
I think we only get so many seconds of it before we got to pay for it.
Oh. Let's fade. Let's hit that fade button. How many seconds did we burn? That was about 15?
Well, you know, we played the same bars over and over. For let's just say we played the first 8 seconds twice, so yeah, we don't owe anything.
That's true. So suck it. Well, we have a guy directly related to the song. You know, it's from that project, and I thought there was a clause in there with that.
I do believe there is when we're talking about the actual product, we can play the music. So I think we're set. I don't think they're going to come after the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter over that.
No, they won't get much anyway. But they, you know, we've never been flagged for that. And as goofy as YouTube is with all the stuff they do, I mean, we'll get stuff, guys, music to play for you guys, off free music archives. Hence the name, Free Music Archives. And they'll red flag you and say, you don't have permission to play that. You know, it's deceiving. It's very weird in the broadcasting world. Is it not, Nathan?
It is. You have to make sure you have that, like, community clause on your thing that says you can play the music. It's just ridiculous.
Hey, somebody
maybe we should buy the license that we can play anything, Sean. Then we'll just become a music show. We'll just play music for 10 hours a day, and then the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show will come on.
Hey, that'd be perfect. Yeah, just like a regular. We'd get paid for that. They got disc jockeys that do that. They just sit there and play music. They don't have to think of clever and funny things to say.
Well, neither do we. We just do it.
We do it. But, you know,
some people would argue that, too.
Yeah, some people would argue the funny part and the interesting part. I don't know. Talking about the, you know, I know we're not a political show, but I don't care because this election... I don't feel
this election is supernatural all on its own, Sean.
Booby and crotch grabbing topic of the day. Yeah, that's so insane. This country has lost its mind, but only in the greatest country in the world can you lose your mind like this and still rock. You know what I mean? America.
That's true.
America.
America. America. Actually, how we got to cut a few syllables out of that. America.
America.
There you go. America.
That's what they say. Anyway. America. You know, listen to that song, man. I started seeing the leaves fall today, and I was looking up the song to play for the intro and loading all that stuff up, and I could see the leaves gently falling outside, and I almost thought I could see, like, a clothesline with the Michael Myers standing behind it, you know?
Have you ever watched any of the stuff
that was
were,
though,
like, that were mistakes in the original Halloween movie? That they showed up later, like, literally you'll be watching the scene where she's walking down the street, yeah, and apparently the sound guy was standing behind the bush holding the microphone and he was smoking a cigarette, and while she's talking you just see a puff of smoke
I seen it on a webpage where there was, like, nosy neighbors while Jamie Lee Curtis is walking down the street. There's two boys, like, smoking cigarettes, sitting on the porch. It's supposed to be like a lonely abandoned street, and you see these two guys.
No, literally it's great stuff, because, like, literally the sound guy's behind the bush and she's talking and all you see is this puff of smoke go behind her head. There's another scene where the camera guy is, like, filming her, and then the next camera guy picks up, and you don't notice the original camera guy is, like, looking at her from over the bush, and his head just goes down. It's like all these mistakes that were in the original movie that when they went back and edited it, they had such a low budget, they were like, nah, it looks good, let's just go with it.
Nathan, if you remember right, the G&D show, or the Shadow Nation, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, we have had a long history with the Michael Myers franchise, the Halloween franchise. Yeah. Yeah, remember way back in the day, I forget, maybe our third year on the air, we had Michael Moran on, one of the first Michael Myers Halloween. Yep. He came on, and I'd have to go back and listen to the archive. I'm sure it was.
You know, I'm so upset that we lost that Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show with Jamie Lee Curtis, because, you know, that would have been a great show to have.
Yes, of course. It's you know,
maybe I was dreaming of that one.
It's, yeah. Of course, next week, guys, we got another treat for you. And we've been talking to Bonnie Ahrens from the Conjuring 2 guys. And so
I've got to fix the website, Sean. I spelled her name wrong on the website.
She's going to kill us.
I know.
Is she not can you not wait to interview her? Is she not the
coolest?
You
know, getting to talk to her just the pre-show was insane when we got to sit down and talk to her about what we do and why we want her on the show. Mm-hmm. We're going to be hitting the bleep button a lot, though, man.
Yeah, I got a feeling. And she was just so flattering, and she said, we're so funny. How are you guys not on, you know, everywhere? I said, that's a good question.
We've been asking that question for 10 years now. Yeah. 10 years, Sean, you realize less than a month from now will be the 10-year anniversary from when you and I met and decided to start the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Isn't that nuts, man? Isn't that nuts?
And then this coming February will be the 10-year anniversary of G&D.
This, what was it?
February 11th.
Of 2017.
It marks exactly 10 years to the day.
Yeah.
From when you and I broadcast for the very first time. So actually, this it's interesting. This year, it will actually fall on our Sunday show in February. Will fall on February 12th. So that will be our 10-year anniversary show.
Oh, I feel like I should get you some crotchless panties or something, you know?
No. Last time you got me those, they rode up and it hurt. And
Trump might grab you.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I seen somebody this week posting. Go ahead.
Who knows what Hillary will do to me?
That's what somebody went on. Somebody made a video and it was a gentleman and he started crying in tears. And he was talking about how Hillary grabbed him one time when he was in line at McDonald's. You know, people feel like, well, you can fabricate.
Was she picking up burgers for Bill?
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, I bumped into Bill once at a burger joint.
Did you really?
I did.
Bill Clinton. When
I was working for another radio station and we were setting up like a display, and I told the kids, you know, that the interns that worked for me, I was like, you know, set this up. You know, we were giving out little free samples of, you know, some kind of brand of sports drink or something. And I told them to set it up and I went inside to use the bathroom. And as I walked out, bam, walked right into Bill. I
said, how you doing, buddy? Is the bathroom empty?
I asked him if he'd go outside and sign up for our free barbecue giveaway. And he said, no, he couldn't do that.
I got to say, if I wasn't we can't talk politics on here. We can't.
No, we can't. But I mean, this is a personal story of mine. Right. I bumped into Bill Clinton. You know, I have a friend. Today is actually also, Sean, sad story. The 2-year anniversary. You remember when my buddy Mark passed away two years ago?
Very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Mark's favorite story was how he was standing in a bathroom one day and two guys walked through the door wearing black coats and dark glasses, guarded either side of the door. And a gentleman walked in, started using the urinal next to him. He was like 12 years old. He looks up and it was President Ford.
I thought you were going to say Nixon. No, I'm not a crook.
No, it was President Ford.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Without thinking, he turned to look up at him and pissed on President Ford's shoe.
I don't have any cool Ford voices. I can't.
I miss Mark terribly, but that story has stuck with me for years.
Well, there you go. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. You get to pee on the president. What was he doing? Where was it? Did you say where he was? Another burger joint?
He was just in a restaurant with his parents, and he went in. And my wife used to waitress at a restaurant where Henry Kissinger used to come in all the time.
Oh, wow.
You know, we're in New England up here, Sean, so that kind of stuff happens.
It does happen. Yeah, it does, and this is a beautiful time to be up there. But, you know, talking about our legacy with the Halloween franchise, of course, the only one we haven't had is Jamie Lee and John Carpenter on yet, but I'm sure that's coming in the future. But, you know, all these years, Nate, we never bothered to ask what was behind. Well, I guess we did. You know, was Michael Myers sometimes, like everybody knows, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on Edward Gein in Wisconsin when he used to skin women alive and wear their stuff. You remember, right?
I remember the story. I did not realize the two stories were connected.
All right. And we found out, you know, Halloween with Michael Myers, guys, is not just, because for years, a lot of people said it was just a spooky, cool movie. You know, you got the old Captain Kirk mask, and they dolled it up, and they took off the sideburns. And
they cut the eye holes bigger.
They cut the eye holes bigger and made it just the freakiest thing ever, right? And believe it or not, it was going to be a clown mask before.
Yep. Yeah. But they found out they could buy more Captain Kirk masks cheaper than they could buy the clown masks.
Right. That was a pot smoking 70s direction through, man. Anyway, I was doing some research before the show, and it comes from a website. It's Ask Mystic Investigations, and apparently it's a paranormal network deal. But it says, what is Michael Myers, and is he real? And it's a question mark. And I seen it, so I started reading. I'm going to read a little bit to you. Michael Myers is one of the most prolific supernatural serial killers in motion picture history. After conducting a thorough paranormal investigation, we have discovered the shocking truth that a deranged superhuman serial killer exists which was the basis for the Halloween films. Okay, so...
Okay.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying the government covers up the truth and suppresses any media from reporting on the facts.
Well, we know that's a fact, so yeah. You can go on.
Yeah, we know that's a fact. But he said the media has covered this up, which, you know, okay, I'm still with you here. It says the serial killer's real name that Michael Myers was based on. The real name of the serial killer is Stanley Steers.
Well, that would turn me to killing.
Yeah, okay. Stiers. Stanley Steers, guys. Check that out. Google, fact check me. Yeah, we hear a lot of that lately. Don't we? Fact check me, fact check me. I want to stop checking my own facts and just say, fact check me. Go to our website at ghostanddemon.com and fact check us. Actually, don't, because our show's loosely based on facts, guys. But no, the serial killer's name, Nathan, was Stanley Steers. And much of his original killing spree took place in 1920s Iowa, rather than the 1970s Illinois, as portrayed in Halloween. Quite a bit differently than the Halloween franchise, was fictional for the most part, particularly the explanation for his seemingly supernatural strength, endurance, and stealth, along with his refusal to die. Halloween 6 seems to indicate his powers are the result of some druid curse. Anyway, in reality, Stanley's dark journey into living diabolical damnation began as a child, deeply abused by both his often drunk parents after they found out he was not their biological child. Their real child was taken home by another couple, and all three died in a car crash on the way home from the hospital. It was found out later that a malevolent nurse would switch babies in the nursery just for kicks. Wow.
Well, that's the start of a bad horror film right there.
Yeah, that's I'd get crazy. The nurse was in jail for a time, but once she got out, she was later killed by Stanley. Stan's abusive adopted parents had another baby, a girl named Susie, who they purposely treated like a princess. She later became abusive towards Stanley as well. On Halloween Eve of 1923, 11-year-old Stanley was told once again he would not be allowed to trick or treat the next night. For his entire childhood, he was not allowed to trick or treat, Nathan.
Oh, that would drive me to murder.
Yet his sister was. That's even worse, man. Hours after his sister got home from Halloween party, Stanley finally snapped at midnight, whipped out a butcher knife, and took down everyone in the house, including the family dog. Mr. Snookers was the name of the Mr. Snookers.
That's going to be the title of my next book, Mr. Snookers.
Yeah, and apparently the dog, you'll appreciate this, was known as the terror of the neighborhood. Apparently Mr. Snookers' ghost got you, his reincarnated ghost. It's unknown what Steers did for the most of the Halloween day, but that night he went trick-or-treating for the first time. Amid the costume chaos, he killed a number of his bullying classmates, such much older and bigger than him as well. In one instance, he invaded the home of a classmate, taking out the entire family single-handedly. Survivors say he had superhuman strength as he lost full-grown men around, or he tossed full-grown men around like a round dog, a rag doll, before impaling them with a big butcher knife. Stan was captured at sunrise the next day when he was found gleefully eating candy on a swing at the school playground. Federal agents promptly swooped in to scurry him away to a secret mental institution for further study.
You know, how many stories start off with the baby switched to the hospital? If you've, Sean, you're a dad. If you found out that any of your kids were actually switched at birth, would you love them any less now?
Absolutely not. You've raised them all their life. I mean, you pay on it. Might as well give that love.
I paid for the love. I want it.
I want that love. Anyway.
Would you want contact with the kid that you didn't know? The one that had been switched?
Well, I think after a while, you got to look at it. How much damage would that cause to the kid? Is he a serial killer?
I want a full psychological profile on the entire family that had my child, plus my child, before I'll have contact with them again.
You have to think of these things, Nathan.
Yes, you really do. I guess it's that day and age. I want a safe place to meet my child for the first time.
In case he's a serial killer.
Yes.
If you show up and he's eating candy wearing a clown mask with a bloody butcher knife, you're like, peace out, son. I hope you have a great night.
You look at him through the window of the restaurant, you're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm good. I got kids. It's
I'm
all right.
Good. Anyway, you heard that music, Nate.
I hear that music, Sean.
It's always fresh. It's always exciting, strange, and weird, and straight from the Shadow Nation presses. And it starts right
now.
Bone chilling, Bone Daddy.
Chilling. That's right, folks. It's time for G&D in the news, Shadow Nation. That means that Sean and I pick stories right out of the papers because we like the titles. Yeah. Of course, we haven't read them yet, so we don't know what's in the stories. They might be good, they might be bad, we don't know, and we're probably going to make a lot of mistakes. So every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game. Of course, we respectfully ask that if you are driving your car, don't play the G&D drinking game. We're not going to come and bail you out. And if you're doing anything important this evening, like, say, picking out a Halloween costume, please listen responsibly.
First up to bat, Nathan. Amateur zombie hunter allegedly fires into the house, nearly kills sleeping man. You going to take that one?
I'm going to take that one. I love that story, Sean.
I know. I wanted to throw that out there for you, though, because you said, I want this one. I said, I'm going to do it.
I saw that title. I just got to have it. So let's bring up that story. Amid a growing wave of creepy clown sightings, arrested and anti-clown violence, Ryan Stanislaw is taking us back to a simpler, more innocent time.
Okay.
You know, when zombie apocalypse was the cool thing to have nightmares about.
Yeah.
Stanislaw was arrested have a drink, folks.
Drink it.
Stanislaw was arrested Saturday afternoon, allegedly after firing into a home while hunting zombies.
Well,
at around 5 a.m. in North St. Paul, Minnesota, Fox 9 News reports.
Okay.
Police say a bullet from an AR-15 rifle shattered the window of Ken Kowal, who was asleep at the time.
Okay.
Luckily, a bullet narrowly missed Kowal's head, ricocheting off the wall of his bedroom, he said. Stanislaw, 24, allegedly told police he was simply out making sure my neighborhood was safe. And that he was aiming at a zombie. He was also carrying bullets marked anti-zombie ammunition.
He marked each individual bullet. That's a lot of markings on a bullet.
I think the boxes were probably marked, okay. Sean.
They need to clarify.
A criminal complaint cites Stanislaw's mother saying he has no history of mental illness, CBS Minnesota notes.
He does now.
He definitely does now.
Jesus.
He was charged with firearm violence as well as possession of a firearm by an illegitimate person, according to Ramsey County arrest records.
Okay.
Stanislaw was considered ineligible because he was convicted last month of making a terrorist threat.
Okay.
Maybe next time, law enforcement issues a warning not to shoot random clowns. They should mention zombies, too.
You know, I got to say, I'm proud of my country, you know, because you got terrorists, you got all these things, and they can't even come close to the terror within from clowns and zombie hunters.
Oh, yeah. You know, people, terrorists can land in the middle of the U.S., jump off of helicopters, run into the middle of cities, and see a bunch of guys in clown costumes carrying guns and knives, and they're going to go, no, that's okay. We got the wrong country. Yeah. Jump back on their helicopters and fly away.
Yeah, they will. Only in our country are we so screwed up and so large and so powerful. You can't terrorize us. Sorry, folks. Anyway.
We terrorize ourselves.
Yeah. Is that it? We got that one out of the way?
Go ahead.
Anyway, Alex Jones, a lot of people know him. He's got his little radio show. Forget the name of it, Nathan.
Anyway. I don't know the name of it. All I have is the title here. You clicked on it. Yeah. You tell me.
Well, maybe it'll come out in the wash. Anyway, Alex, InfoWars. Oh, InfoWarsGuys.com. Thanks, everybody at the Huffington Post for this gem. Anyway, Alex Jones says Hillary Clinton and Obama are real demons.
Oh!
The devil...
Is that a Huffington Post story too, Sean?
Yeah.
My story was a Huffington Post story.
That's what I said. Special thanks to all our friends at the Huffington Post. You must be sleeping through these interviews I'm doing.
No, they're not interviews. They're stories.
This is stories. Satan, maybe? Anyway, radio host and Donald Trump's... Yeah, Satan! Radio host and Donald Trump supporter Alex Jones doesn't need to tell Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama to go to hell. He believes they already reside there. Yeah. on Monday, Jones, host of his, I can't even say this, ring the bell, eponymous show on the Genesis Communications Network, said that two were literally the devil. Media Matters reported on this. He called Clinton a psychopathic demon. I'm sure of that. And people around her say she's so dark now and so evil and so possessed that they're having nightmares. They're freaking out, Jones ranted. Anyway.
I see a movie in the works.
I do too. Why not? She's going to have plenty of off-season time, if you know what I mean. Anyway. He claimed that both Clinton and Obama were the devil. Anyway, something smells all right. Jones is a crackpot, is what they're saying. Right-wing conspiracy theorist. I do not agree with that. I think he's a cool person, but he is extremely... Conspiracy-based, much like us. We do it lighter than he does. Anyway, theorist with millions of followers. He believes the government had a hand in 9/11 and has said that Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre was, of course, completely fake with actors. But not everyone is skeptical of Jones. Donald Trump has praised the radio host, declaring, "Your reputation is amazing." Now, there's an endorsement. But anyway, you know, he went on, anyway, about Trump. He does 10 billion shows a day, guys. So, you know, he has to.
You know, the interesting thing,
anyway,
Sean, is...
Jones says that these guys are, matter of fact, they're the devil, Nate.
You know, it's interesting, having lived up here and lived through the Sandy Hook incident. I wonder what my opinion would be, because I'm so skeptical of everything I hear and thinking things, if I didn't live up here and hadn't seen everything that had happened.
I don't know.
I mean, it was such a media frenzy. If I wasn't connected to people who lived next to the school, if my sister Lodge wasn't directly next to the school and I knew everything that had gone on, what I would think, you know. But it's you know, that kind of stuff throws me for a loop. And, you know. But that's one of the things. That's why you and I, Sean, get on here, and we set the rules years ago that when people come on our show and they want to tell a story, we never tell them they're wrong. And that's why we get some of the craziest stories on the show.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but I do understand the conspiracies out there, because our government's so shadow government type-ish. If you guys don't believe things go on that you don't know about, you're crazy. You know, there's lots of staged things out there, I'm sure, and there's things that have been fabricated before. And I tell you what, this election is really bringing out how deep the corruption runs with the media. I've been shocked, you know?
Oh, yeah, it is. And I have to agree with things I've heard recently that, you know, people are thrilled that the WikiLeaks information is getting out, things like that. But on the other hand, as much as, you know, we look at this stuff and say, you know, why are reporters getting upset that individuals are going out and doing things that the reporters used to do? At the same time, you have to sit there and say, we're talking about government files that people are hacking. You know, they really shouldn't be getting into that.
Right.
But hey, Sean, one last story here, because I know we're running out of time and we have a couple other things we want to talk about. And I'm sure our guest will be calling in soon.
Tyler's getting coffee. He's okay.
Yeah. Thanks to creepy clowns, Ronald McDonald is lying low.
Oh.
You didn't know it. See that coming, huh, Sean?
Well, how many Ronald McDonalds are there? There's like been 10 billion over the years, isn't there?
Well, there have been a lot of people portraying the Ronald McDonald role, but the symbolism of Ronald McDonald, I mean, I don't know if you've ever stopped at like a McDonald's that has Ronald McDonald sitting on the bench outside.
Oh, yeah.
And you can sit up there. America's creepy clown problem is getting out of hand, and even the beloved clown, Ronald McDonald, seems to be a little freaked out. The fast food chain McDonald's told the Huffington Post on Tuesday that its famed corporate mascot will be lying low for a while in sight of the surging reports of creepy clown sightings across the country. Mm. McDonald's and the franchises in local markets are mindful of the current climate around clown sightings in the communities.
They bring
and the company
with them.
Said that the email statement, no, I'm sorry, have a drink, folks, and as such are being thoughtful with respect to Ronald McDonald's participation in the community events for the time being. So Ron is keeping his head down there, Sean.
So no more school appearances for a while, is that?
I guess not. McDonald's isn't placing an outright ban on public appearances by the red-nosed clown. And the corporate spokesman said, but the company is being thoughtful in the regards to Ronald McDonald appearances and how public they will be, Sean. So that comes to us from the Huffington Post as well. I had a few other stories today, but we're running out of time, and there's a couple little things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's Shadow Nation News, guys, for this week.
There you go, Shadow Nation News. We had political candidates of the devil. Ronald McDonald's is laying low, and the fact that zombie hunters are shooting into people's houses.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's everywhere.
So, Sean, a couple little things I just want to hit on there. One, very happy this week, Supernatural came back on the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never followed that.
I'm a huge Supernatural fan, for those of you out there who didn't know that. We've been trying to get some of the folks from the show onto the G&D show for a while, hopefully in the future. Mm-hmm. But got to say, I was pleased with this week's show.
Okay.
I don't want to give too much about it away. There's no spoiler alert on this, folks. I'm not giving anything away. Well, I'll give one little thing away. Minor spoiler alert. Minor. Because
spoiler.
This was just something I thought was going to happen
right.
when I tuned in this week. At the end of last season,
yeah.
A member of the Men of Letters showed up at the brothers' bunker and shot one of the brothers. And we knew he wasn't dead. You just knew that.
Right.
But we thought he was going to wake up in England, you know, because that's where the gentleman had come from or the lady had come from. And he does not wake up in England. But the rest of the show did not go the way I expected. And it's a very good show, folks. Everything you thought might happen, everything you were looking forward to does happen. But a little bit different than you expect. You can tell this is going to be the story. It's going to be stretched out. Looking forward to it, folks, and definitely check out Supernatural. I guess it's season 12 now, but looking forward to that. And Sean, next week.
Yes, the return.
What's coming back next week?
The Walking Dead, which means the G&D show, or the Shadow Nation with Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, original series, Rot Talk, will be returning
Rot Talk.
With the return of that show. We know, we love, we support The Walking Dead because we've had most of the cast on this show.
And yes, we have. Usually if they're dead or dying, we'll get them. But Aaron's still alive. At least we hope he's still alive, Sean. We didn't even discuss this. End of last season, somebody got bashed in with Lucille. What if it was Aaron?
Well, we don't know, do we? He was the last.
Aaron was there.
Wait, Aaron wasn't the last Walking Dead to come on.
No. But he was the only one that's still alive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And well, I mean, if he dies, that's it. The G&D show, the Shadow Nation, has killed every person who has come on the show. So let's hope it wasn't Aaron.
Well, we are in talks with some very big stars that are coming out, being introduced. We're actually introduced last season, last episode, and they're going to be introduced big time coming up. We're in talks with those guys, so look forward to that coming up, because it's always a great show when we have a Walking Dead guest. So it's always a great show, but man, everybody knows in the comic book series, Glenn gets it, right? I think it's safe to say.
In the comic book series, Glenn bites it, yes.
Yeah, Negan smashes Glenn's head in, eyeballs are popping, his little baseball cap's off. Nathan seems to think that they, Kirkman and everybody else, is going to stray to shock
the world. Just the slightest feeling they might stray from it. Although Kirkman did throw out the hint last year when they said, what can we expect from this season? And Kirkman said, I'm not going to give it any hints except, of course, the fact that Glenn will, in the next couple seasons, get his head bashed in by a baseball bat.
Right. Well, I mean, do you think he's going to drop that?
He did say it. It is in the comic books. Everybody's waiting and expecting it, but will it be? Because, I mean, if anybody has seen the teaser trailer with some spoilers in it, there is the scene between Rick and Negan where he hints that maybe Rick's number two guy has been smashed, in which case it might not be number two guy. It might be number two girl. We could be looking at either. Well, I don't think they'll kill Daryl. I really don't think they'll kill Daryl.
Oh, my God.
Remember, Michonne could die, and we recently had a guest from The Walking Dead who said he thought that either Michonne or Daryl were going to have to go.
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah.
So, I mean, is Michonne the one who just bit the dust?
I don't know.
I would not be surprised if we find out it was Michonne. Do you think it's going to be one of those episodes, Sean, where it doesn't take off right where it left off, but we're going to see like a whole bunch of stuff, and at the end of the episode, we'll actually see what happened?
I don't think, and I think you're right in a way, I don't think they're going to come right out and give you the Christmas turkey, you know what I mean? The Christmas goose. Because everybody's been waiting, they're going to tease you a little bit more. So I think they're going to do maybe some reflection. I don't know. I don't know. How could they...
They could jump to like a week ahead.
They're going to start with the survivors, right? It was not the survivors. It is the survivors. The guy with the tiger, and right? That's where Morgan and Carol.
Well, no. Rick's team is called the survivors. Negan's
team.
Yeah. No, Negan's team is the saviors.
Okay.
They're the saviors. Rick's team is the survivors. And
I don't know. Get in chat, guys. Tell us.
And I'm trying to remember what the other team is, the guy with the tiger.
Who knows? But, we'll figure that one out. But they, I think definitely they're going to start it off with that side of things. Morgan going over there, Carol, everything else. And then, you know, with the last 20 minutes or 10 minutes left, they're going to show you the splatter scene. That's what's going to happen, you know.
And I kind of think you're right. I am a little disappointed in that because I just want to click it on and see what happens. I'm going to be watching the special this evening that they're putting on where all the stars of The Walking Dead come on and talk about their history and where their characters have come from and where they've gone. I forget the title of it this evening. But
Where we've gone. What we've done, where we've gone, where we've been, yeah, something like that.
And I'm going to watch that. And of course, after that, I've recorded every like assassination, because you realize this week is like the anniversary of President Kennedy's being shot.
Okay.
So this evening on National Geographic, they have on Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, and Killing Reagan.
You know, one of the best documentaries I ever seen on any presidents was, believe it or not, Stealing Lincoln's Body. Great if you haven't seen it. It's amazing.
I did see that one, and that was a very good one. So King Ezekiel will be on this coming season, Sean, and he's got the tiger.
Yeah, King Ezekiel. Looks like a really cool cat. Bad ace. He's a bad man.
It should be interesting, too, because in the comic book series, Ezekiel is Michonne's ex.
Yeah.
So
what are we in? This is season 7, right? We're in 7th year of Walking Dead?
I think we are going in the 7th year. It's either 7 or 6.5, way they do that.
So I remember 6 years ago, whatever, guys, Halloween night, like most of you would remember that follow the Shadow Nation, because you're all Walking Dead fans mostly, but I remember sitting in front of the TV with the pumpkins glowing. Do you remember this, Nate? And it premiered on Halloween night.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. And since then, it's become you and I have talked about it. We love it so much. We adjusted the show for it. We've added a segment. We've busted our asses, man, to get these amazing guests on here from The Walking Dead because we love it so much. And we're always like schoolgirls shaking when we get one on, too, because we're, huge fans.
Here you go, Sean. Negan's group is the Saviors. Rick's group is the Survivors. And Ezekiel's group is the Kingdom.
Okay, the Kingdom. All right.
Okay. And, of course, there's the Hilltop now, and but this should definitely be. And Ezekiel came in at around issue 108, and I think I stopped reading the comic book right around issue 101.
Right.
So we are actually getting into a segment where I will no longer know what the comic book had to say about what was going on because I didn't read this far in.
But the comic book is still in print, correct?
Oh, the comic book's still in print. Yep, they're still doing the comic book. Mm-hmm. So
we don't know how long this could run for, guys. I think Dallas was on, 12 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. And then JR got shot and all this stuff and Knott's Landing, all these epic shows. And I think it's safe to say The Walking Dead has at least another 3 years in it.
You think so? It all depends on... I think each year really depends on what they do the year before. So
I don't know. I think so because, to me and a lot of people, I think it's becoming a family thing. You never see something like this where people gather around at bars and stuff like that and they have meetups, group meetups. It's become a phenomenon, not just a show. People dress up and they go there and they talk and they watch the previous interview and they drink and then they all get quiet and watch tonight's episode. It's become a group. And here at my house... It's the only thing we do as a family. You know, we tried to sit down here at the new house and eat and stuff together as a family. But it, maybe it's sad, maybe it's not, but I love it. You know, when we get off the air, I got 30 minutes. And you know, sometimes we're blabbing with the guests, and I'm like, man, I really think this guest is cool, but I got to go. And I'll go get that popcorn
here
made
you go,
up.
Sean. Longest running shows on television, The Simpsons have run for 28 years. Gunsmoke ran for 20. Law & Order for 20. South Park for 20. Thomas and Friends, I have no idea what that is. 20.
Train.
Law and Order, 18. Lassie ran for 17. CSI ran for 15. ER, 15. Family Guy, 15. Jack Benny Program, 15. Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, 14. And it keeps going down. Dallas was 14. You were pretty right there. Knott's Landing. NCIS, 14. So, yeah, I mean, when you get into shows like this, however, when you start rolling down into shows that are like adventure-based shows or just, you know, not sitcom, but, you know, weekly shows, you get shows like Cheers and Frasier ran for 11, The Jeffersons, 11. But most of the adventure shows like this, Smallville, Perry Mason, the FBI, they all ran for between 8 and 10 years. So X-Files ran for 9, as you know.
That was it, so, 9, huh? I thought the X-Files ran longer.
And I think the 9 includes the 2007 episodes after the movie. So, and that does not include the recent updates. So,
man, what is going on with? And we've had a lot of cats from X-Files on. People we love, we respect. What is going on? Of course, Cigarette Smoking Man came on. And he came on before, so he didn't really. We haven't talked to him after. What's going on with the freaking production? I mean, they give us that, and then they took it away. And
well, they did say it was renewed for another season, but they didn't say when it was going to come out. So they left their door wide open, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But anyway, The Walking Dead, guys, to me, has become a family thing. And I got to tell you, Nate, I've always hated bullies. And I've hated, you know, rape scenes and people that getting picked on and beaten on or murdered and they can't help themselves or they're helpless. A helpless scene. I got to tell you, I'm not looking forward to Big Bad Negan coming up there. And,
you know, and it's tough for me because, as I spoke a little earlier, I'm a huge Supernatural fan. And in Supernatural, he played the boy's dad, and he was not only tough and mean, but he was also like
Jeffrey
Dean
Morgan.
A figure of like wisdom and love. Yeah. So this is kind of tough for me to watch this. But,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It's sad that you get so tied up into a show, you actually cringe at watching who's going to get the axe, you know, or the bat
in
this case.
But characters, you know, as you remember what happened with Star Trek: The Next Generation, they had decided they were going to regularly rotate the crew, and the first character they killed off was Tasha Yar, and there was such an uproar and people threatening to stop watching the show that, you know, they said screw it, and they kept the same crew for 7 years after that. But and they even brought Tasha Yar back a few times.
Yeah, they sure did.
But
anyway,
but I'm definitely interested in seeing what happens next. The sad thing is when somebody dies on this show, they're dead, unlike Supernatural, where somebody can die and then come back, which you learn this year in Supernatural, especially. And folks, I think we're just about out of time. I think our guest is waiting for
us. We're overtime, guys. But in case you missed it, of course, tonight's guest. Can't wait for this one, Nate. We got the big man, Tyler Mayne, stopping by. Started in 86 as his professional world wrestling career started out. Since then, he joined up with Rob Zombie, done all kinds of great films, but of course, he's known for his iconic role as Mr. Michael Myers in the Rob Zombie Halloween franchise. 1 of 2, Halloween, tonight, right here, Mystifying Oracle Radio in the shadow. Can we say Shadow Zone or Shadow Nation?
I think it's Shadow Nation. I think we got to stick with Shadow Nation.
Anyway, guys, right here on your Shadow Nation with your buddies of Sunday nights, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, Tyler Mayne up next. Each week on this show, we support a local band, one we know we love, an independent band, one we know we love. We support the little man on this show, right, Nathan?
We do. I mean, we're the little man ourselves, so we have to.
Speak for yourself, little man. Anyway,
yeah. I was talking figuratively, Sean. If you have a problem with your anatomy, I'm not going to get into it.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, guys, tonight's band, Albino Ghost. Name of the song, Boogeyman at Halloween. Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter,
Ghost Man.
We'll be right back.
Stick around.
Welcome back, guys, to the Shadow Nation. Tonight's guest hit the scene in 1986 when he began his pro career in the world of professional wrestling in the NWA and the NCAA. In 1999, he jumped off the top rope and smashed right into Hollywood, right in the face. Known for epic roles such as Sabretooth in X-Men, King Ajax in Troy, he teamed up with director Rob Zombie as Rufus in the cult classic The Devil's Rejects. And of course, his iconic role as everyone's favorite sister-killing, Halloween-loving madman, Mr. Michael Myers, in Rob Zombie's resurrection of the Halloween films. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome Mr. Tyler Mayne to studio. Tyler, what's up, bub?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. How you guys doing? Well, you know, it's funny because you called the other day and I actually answered the phone to your theme song. How cool as balls is that, man? Sometimes doing
there
radio.
You go.
Yeah, sometimes
it's kind
doing
of a popular catchy tune, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, and we're going to get into this later, but, you know, you have the, of course, the classic Michael Myers stuff, 1 and 2. Three, who the hell knows what happened with that? But, you know, 1 and 2, Michael pops on the stage, and then it goes silent for a long time. All we're doing is watching the old videos, which are classic. They're epic. And then you come on the scene, man. And, you know, you blew everybody away because apparently Michael Myers hit the gym, you know? All of a sudden.
Well, you know, while you're in the asylum, you got to do something. A few push-ups, a few sit-ups, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
You know what? Sean and I have both been prison guards. I having been in there, I really don't think they should give the guys quite that many weights.
Yeah. Yeah, but we weren't.
I know, it's just training them to rebel, right? That's all great.
Well, you don't give a guy that makes crazy looking masks that wants to kill his sister weights. You know, you just don't do it. It's a dangerous thing.
No, exactly. Not a smart move.
Tyler, you give him safety scissors and some construction paper.
That's it. It's all safe. But, man, you've done so. What about this time of year? Thanks for taking the time, because I know Halloween's got to be busy for you. What's it like on the road, man?
Yeah, I'm just, right now we're editing our second picture, Penance Lane. We just wrapped on that a little while ago. We're in a final edit, and then we're going into the rest of post on it. And so that's keeping me pretty busy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then going around and meeting people all over the place for this time of year and saying, hey, it's keeps me pretty busy, which is a good thing, you know?
Yeah. I can't even imagine. I mean, Nathan and I do a Comic-Con here and there and a festival, but not like you. I mean, your whole skit. Plus, you're running a production company. I mean, you got everything going. You're directing. Main Entertainment. Well, you're just talking about your new film. It's not been released yet. It's in production, right?
Yeah, we're in post on that one. The first one we did was Compound Fracture, and it's out, and it's you know, getting some pretty good reviews, and people seem to be digging it. So we kicked off the second one, Penance Lane. We've got a great cast in it. I'm reuniting with some of my old wrestler buddies. We have Booker T is in it. We've got Diamond Dallas Page is in it. Scout is in it from the Halloweens. Daniel Roebuck's in it.
Oh, yeah.
John Schneider is in it from Supernatural and Dukes of Hazzard. And, you know, I mean, it's just a great, great little cast, and we had a lot of fun. And that's what it's all about, you know, trying to make good movies that hopefully entertain people.
Oh, well, it's definitely entertaining because everybody thinks you're going to smash their skull at any time. The first flick I seen you in was Troy, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy's a house. You know, if I seen you on the battlefield, I'd just say, can I buy you a beer, brother? We just set this thing out because, you know, it's a bad day. But, you know, I wanted to start because you've been heard. You've been quoted. You've been on lots of shows. Of course, none as epic as the G&D Shadow Nation show. But anyway, whatever. But this show's a little different because this is about you. This isn't about, I mean, you do all these epic films. And, of course, we're going to talk about that. But we want to talk about you, man, the soul of Tyler Mayne. And you know, you've been heard saying you was a small kid, glasses, braces, picked on. What was your inspiration for being an epic actor and what you've become, wrestling, all that? How was that? Where did it start?
Well, you know, I grew up in Saskatchewan, right? Mm-hmm. And tall, skinny kid, glasses, braces, slightly dyslexic, so I really hated school. I mean, I feared school.
Yeah.
And when I was a younger kid, my mom would put me out the back door because then you'd walk to school. And I would sit on the back step crying because I didn't want to go to school. I feared it so much. And she felt so bad. But, you know, eventually I made it through it. And I would just wait for the weekends. And on the weekends would be Stampede Wrestling, Stu Hart Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'd watch that, and then I'd start watching action films for the rest of the weekend, you know, or, you know, the Disney Channel had their thing and their shows, and, you know, I'd see Davy Crockett and all these other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, I'm going to do that shit someday, you know? And everybody thought I was crazy, but I went into the martial arts, did some martial arts, did some training in the, of the weights and that, and then went out to Calgary and started training with the Harts. And then Red Bastien came in from the WWF at the time, and that's when I went out to California here and started in California, you know?
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to get some movie roles offered to me, and you know, here we are. Now I have my own production company and making movies and doing what I always dreamed of.
Okay, see, I have a rebuttal for this because I was a scrawny little kid with glasses and crooked teeth and very dyslexic. I went and watched the Kung Fu movies on the weekend with my dad after wrestling. And then I started taking karate and I started working out and I'm still a scrawny little guy. So I don't think the formula works as well as you think. I think you had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it was a lot of drive and determination too. You know, I mean, I knew I had to do something with myself because I didn't want to stay there all for the rest of my life and, you know, be wondering if I could have followed my dreams. So that's what I did. You know, I just went after it and was lucky enough, knock on wood, to have things work out.
Well, I was going to say, Nate, when are you going to start your own production company, Nathan, so I can get a role with you, man? I mean, my God.
Okay.
I'm waiting on that next.
Well, my, you know, off the beaten path of that, too, is I have to ask, because I called myself a scrawny guy, but I'm 5'10". I'm 180 pounds. I'm not really a scrawny guy, but I never think of myself as big. You are a big guy. Do you think of yourself as big when you're out there?
No, you know, because, I mean, I'm living in this skin type of thing. You know, I still see myself as that tall, skinny kid with glasses and braces, you know?
Right.
Right up until I hit my head on the door jamb.
That's the same problem I have when I go in the basement. I hit my head. I go, how the heck? Oh, right. I'm not the tiny kid I was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, I don't see myself as that, you know? It's like my wife calls me big, lovable teddy bear. I'm like, every time she says that, I'm like, thanks for ruining my image, you know? But
my street cred, honey.
Yeah, right. That's some street cred being a big teddy bear.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, man.
But no, you know, I've just been lucky and blessed, you know, and things have worked out, and then you just got to go with the flow, you know. I mean, I used to have the long blonde hair, and then that started falling out. So I said, "Screw it, I'm going to shave my head," and now I'm.
And that made you look so much kinder and gentler.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Not like a mental patient at all. And that epic beard, I'm growing one myself. They say I'm cross between Amish and Abraham Lincoln. So I love the beard. You got to keep
it. I am looking for a top hat for you, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's getting out there. I mean, I'm proud of my beard. Hey, I was going to say, Tyler, talking about wrestling, you know, Jake the Snake. He came out with this documentary. You can see it on Netflix and stuff. It's an amazing documentary. And Jake has had a hard way to go. I know you probably know all about this, the history of wrestling. And, you know, he talks about life on the road and how he got addicted to painkillers and all. I mean, my God, everything. Coke to get you up, downers. What was it like on the road, man? As a young guy just starting out, I mean, any of that kind of stuff happen?
Yeah, I mean... Here's the thing, like when you're on the road for 200, 300 days a year, right? Different city every night. You got to get there. You got to perform. Because if you're not performing and you're not walking out through that curtain and into that ring, you're not getting a paycheck, mm-hmm. you know? So you got to do what you got to do to get there. And you know, lucky for me, I didn't have to go that way and stuff. I was a big guy. I didn't need to do the steroids like some of them and stuff like that. But, right. you know, it is what it is. It's like it becomes your life, your way of life, and you just got to keep going. You know, I was lucky enough to transition out of it with getting. I was wrestling in Mexico when I got my first feature role, And have you ever seen any of those Mexican wrestling movies?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got offered one of those, and I was like, hey, guys, I don't speak Spanish. They go, don't worry about it. We'll dub your voice. You know, and this is in the 80s. And I'm like, okay, what am I doing? And they go, you're an intergalactic vampire that shoots laser beams out of your fingers. There's going to be a pink fog that follows you everywhere. Don't judge. It was the 80s. And you're going to have three midget sidekicks dressed up as aliens. Go, you know, and you're chasing this woman down. Okay, great. It'll be fun.
We're going to try.
So that was my first. Taste of doing a feature, and I was like, hey, this is pretty fun. This beats the heck out of getting dropped on my head, you know.
Oh yeah,
but
man.
You know, I years ago when it was still the WWF, I dated a girl who was the travel planner for the WWF for all the wrestlers. And she used to talk about the horrors that you guys went through with your traveling.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be crazy. They'd hand you, back when I was going, they'd hand you like a stack of tickets for the month. And you got to figure out how to get there to the airport and everything. And you'd have like a 6 a.m. flight. And you're like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know? You just finish wrestling. You get out of wrestling. You go eat, you know, and get to bed by about midnight, 1 o'clock, and then you're up again at the airport flying at 6. It's ridiculous, you know?
And working in movies isn't that much better.
No doubt.
No, but at least you're in one place, you know? You're not having to go from plane to plane to plane to plane. And you know, thank God I was doing it back before all this 9/11 crap, because...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the security was a lot leaner then, and you didn't have to take your pants off and everything and walk through the screener, and you know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah.
It was bearable back then. I couldn't see doing it every day now. I mean, that would just drive me insane.
Hey, you know, your role that you played, of course, when you were on the Troy, that epic movie, man. Brad Pitt, a bunch of great actors. You played King Ajax, and you know, you've said before that you loved bringing that person to life, back to life or whatever, a historical figure.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for that, for an actual person that has lived before? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you just do as much research as you can and try to figure it out. Of course, the script didn't follow the Iliad, but, you know, because in that, King Ajax outlives Achilles, and he blames himself for his death, and he goes insane and all of that. But so it was a little different version, but, you know, you just got to do your homework. And I've been very lucky and blessed to work with some really great people, you know, Brian Cox, Peter O'Toole, Brad, Orlando Bloom, all of those guys, you know, Diane Kroger. I mean, it was fantastic. I had a great time.
I have to admit, I must applaud your acting as you stood before Brad Pitt, and this is a guy that you're supposed to be afraid of. Like, yeah.
Well, I thought, you know, I thought your performance on that was epic, man. I mean, the whole movie, historical, it followed the storyline of how we think it happened, right? So, and of course, with some Hollywood stuff involved. But, I mean, you go from a role like that, and of course, I'm doing this backwards. But what was it like? I mean, because you're so diverse, man. You can play so many things. When you got the call in 2000, for X-Men and join the Marvel family. How did that happen? Did they tell you, hey, you're going to be this? Or did they just say, come on in, we want you for X-Men. We'll tell you here in a minute.
Yeah, I was actually going into, they wanted me to actually do the stunts. And I go, well, you know, I can do fighting stunts. They go, well, there's a big high fall involved. And I'm like, oh, shit, I want to do that. But, you know, I was going in to meet them. I was going to go meet them, and then because they were going to get Kevin Nash, my tag partner, you know, but for some reason it didn't work out. And the stunt guy showed Bryan Singer my picture and said, hey, I want to see him for Sabretooth. So I ended up walking in there. I didn't really, I mean, I'd known about the comic book, but with not being a reader, you know, I didn't really know about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I went down to the valley here and said, hey, guys, into a comic book shop. You got any X-Men comics? The guy goes, yeah, there's four rows over here.
Yeah.
I go, okay, cool. You got anything with Sabretooth? He goes, yeah, these two rows over here. And the guy's starting to look at me like I'm an idiot or something. You know, I'm like,
don't you know?
You know, I'm trying to find something for my nephew, dude. Man, help me out. Give me some good ones. And he pulls out these really expensive ones. And I'm like, okay, I mean, you know, I love my nephew, but not that much, you know?
Not $4,000 worth.
So then I ended up getting a few of them, took them home, started reading the comic books they're trying to. I mean, those balloons are all over the place. I was like, what the hell? And, you know, kind of figured it out. And I said, okay, I really want this role. I really need this role. I went out to a shop, a specialty shop for props and that, and I got the teeth and some Polydent, and I put them in for my audition. And I remember walking down the hallway, going into the bathroom, putting these on, and I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, I am an idiot. This looks so tacky, you know? And then I'm like, okay. So I just gave myself a complex, and I'm walking out. I walk into the office, and I go, there's this young guy sitting on the edge of the couch,
yeah,
typing away on a laptop. And I go, hey, I'm here to see Mr. Singer. And he just doesn't pick his head up. He just puts a finger up and as if to stop me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. So he's typing. And then probably about a minute later, he looks up. And he gets all excited, and he goes, oh, my God, I'm Bryan Singer. How are you? Are you Tyler? And I go, yeah. And then he saw the teeth, and he got so excited. I remember he jumped up. There was, like, a glass table in the center of the, and he said, choke me. And I reached up, and I choked him and showed him the teeth and kind of roared at him. And he goes, oh, my God, you're Sabretooth. So that was my audition. And I learned from that, never judge a book by its cover, because that little skinny kid could be your director.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
You know, so that was my whole audition for it.
Wow. Well, yeah, you come in, you're pretty intimidating.
And then you're filming it, and you're standing there, and you've got Darth Maul on one side of you. You've got Gandalf on the other.
Yep.
But, you know, you mentioned something that was real real cool there, Tyler. You said, because a lot of people, they see you on the screen, they see you guys up there, and it seems to come so easy for you. Talking about complexes, you actually get those. Because being on radio, man, we're getting ready to celebrate 10 years, right, doing our radio show. And we're constantly have complexes after the show. How do you feel better? Oh, I felt pretty good. How do you think we did? Still, after 9.5 years, you know, doing this. Does that happen? Oh, how do you overcome?
Oh, I mean, you don't. It's like you're always going to be second guessing yourself and wondering. It's like if you do, you know, when you do a role or an audition, you're like, oh, could I have done it better? Could I have done it different? You know, and I was beating myself up that I didn't book everything all the time. And then I was like, once I became a producer, you know, and you're actually looking for that specific person for that specific role, it doesn't mean that the other people weren't great. It's just they didn't fit what you were looking for that role.
Yeah.
You know, like when we were auditioning for Compound Fracture, one of the roles we had 900 people submit. The other one was 1200 and 1100. I'm like, oh my God, we can only pick one, you know? And after going through that whole process, I'm like, no wonder people get complexes, you know, well, but it's, you just got to throw it aside and go, you know, everything, my motto in this business is everything happens for a reason. And sometimes you will not know what the reason is. I mean, a lot of times I'll be like, oh God, I wish I would have got that role. And then the film would come out and you're like, oh God, I dodged a bullet on that one. Thank you. You know?
Yeah.
so you never know what the reasoning is behind it. It just happens, you know. And yeah, of course you're going to have complexes, and you're going to second guess, and you're going to wonder and go, you know, I'm always saying, I'm still that little kid with skinny kid with glasses and braces. You know, I'm like, I'll do an audition or something and have to tape something. I'll say to my own, did you like it? Was it good? Was it, you know, that's just the way it is, man. You know,
that's wild to hear you say that, because nobody would figure. You walk on the set, people would just not figure that you second guess what you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody does it a little bit. You know, I mean, everybody has insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
And if they say they don't, they're going to be a lying son of a bitch.
We're going to quote you on that.
I mean, seriously.
There
we go. That's a quote.
Tyler May quote.
Then you, just a quick thing out there, because you got to be on one of my favorite shows, and you got to work with Rebecca again on Librarians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. I had a lot of fun on that.
Yeah. Just get to be the Minotaur,
the Manator for the Minotaur, yeah. Well, I still haven't seen that episode. I'm kind of dying to see it, to see what happened with it.
Jeez. You know, and then you get the magic call. In my world, it's magic anyway. Rob Zombie gives you a call, right? How did this happen? How did you become this iconic figure of Michael Myers? What was it like, man? How did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, I did Devil's Rejects with Rob, right? I was replacing the original Rufus.
Right.
And I was brought in after they'd already started filming, so it was late in the game, and I go, well, you know, I want to just leave me uncredited. I only had like 4 days of work on the film. And did it and, you know, went home and go, okay, I die before the credits roll in that movie. And I was like, okay, well, that was cool.
Next.
And then I was up in Canada, right? And getting ready to talk to producers about another project. And the phone rings, and it's Rob. So it's like, okay, that's a call you got to take.
Right.
So I'm like, hey, Rob, what's up? He goes, hey, I'm doing this movie, and I want you to be in it. You got to be in it. If you're not in it, I'm not going to do it. And he started telling me, and he goes, hey, I'm redoing Halloween. And I go, oh, Rob, man, I don't want to be a guy behind a mask. And he's like, no, wait. And he explained the whole how he was going to do it and be a product of his environment, not a one-dimensional character, and create this, you know, re-bump up this franchise. And I was like, okay, cool, count me in, you know. And from there, we ended up doing two of them. So it was, I was very lucky and blessed. I've been very lucky and blessed throughout my whole career, you know.
Yeah. What's that like? You losing your face and having to, because to me that would be top shelf acting performance. You have to not only get in the serial killer / zombie / whatever crazy man's mind and look through those eyes. What's it like looking through the eye holes and knowing that those guys that came before you, that you have to keep this terror alive, man? How do you prepare for something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just did a lot of research. I was like checking into real serial killers and you know, and just channeling some of their things that they did, you know. And then I watched all the Halloweens except for three, where Michael Myers doesn't even appear. So I don't know what the hell that was about. But
right.
And you know, just watched what they did and wanted to kick it up a notch, you know, just put my own spin on it type of thing, but still have the same nuances of the head tilt and stuff like that. And it, you know, it is a great exercise to be able to bring a character to life and have people, you know, be sympathetic to him and believe in him, like from the, in the asylum, you know, I mean, before I get to that jumpsuit and the mask, I slouched over, my shoulders were slouched, I kind of shuffled my feet, and then as I worked my way to getting the suit, getting the mask, becoming Michael Myers, then, you know, the shoulders were back, and then it was on, and the killing machine was out there, you know? So I kind of wanted to develop the character that way so that people would be able to see how he kind of, they see how he evolves as a kid, but then I wanted them to see how he evolved once he got out of that asylum.
Right.
You know?
Did you have to, like, meet with the young actor? The name escapes me right now. I'm sorry, guys.
Beg?
Yeah. Did you have to meet with him and kind of fill it out? You guys get in each other's heads a little bit, get a feeling?
No, you know, I just, you know, I did meet him, and I did watch a little bit of his stuff, you know, and it's funny because I was just talking with him. He goes, yeah, for my audition was kind of crazy. Everybody else in the room was small, short kids with, you know, brunette hair and everything. And here I am, this taller, blonde, skinny kid with, you know, long hair. And I'm like, he goes, I never thought I'd get it. And they go, well, yeah, you didn't think you were going to be mini me either, too, did you? So it makes kind of sense that you got it.
Right.
So that's the thing. Everything happens for a reason, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Nathan, weren't we just talking about John Carpenter and Rob Zombie?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
The horror buffs, much like the Star Wars buffs or any kind of guys out there, they're so hard on these freaking movies. And everybody knows about Rob Zombie and John Carpenter, and some say they had words, and then Carpenter said they didn't. John came out and said, you know, Rob Zombie's remakes of the movies, I call them resurrections, were that they shouldn't have been so personal. You know, Mike was supposed to be the faceless killing machine. Nobody knew much about him and all that. Did all this stuff happen? Did you take any heat for this? I mean, what's up with that? How'd you respond to it?
Well, I mean, this is the great thing about filmmaking. Everybody can see the same film and take away different things, different feelings from their, and it's from their own past life. It's from what scares them or what terrorizes them, you know? So everybody sees the same movie differently.
Right.
And that's the beauty of filmmaking. You know, it's never the same thing for everyone. So what everybody takes away from it is their own personal experience. And if people want to, you know, judge it and say whatever they want to say, I guess that's up to them, you know. But the way I approach a movie is I approach it and I try to find something good out of it. I go, you know,
yeah.
I try to enjoy it. I try to just use it as an escape. I'm not sitting there analyzing the damn thing the whole time because what does that do? I mean, I'm not a film critic.
I'm
watching the films to be entertained by them,
yeah,
not to find out what's wrong with them.
I don't know. We had that,
and I don't know why.
Go ahead.
I don't know why people do that. It's just they, you know, they think they know, you know. And then what I just say to them is, if you think you know so damn much, go make a movie.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny
or
when
shut
Sean
them out, you know, I mean,
exactly.
It's seriously.
Yeah.
When you Sean know. And I were doing TV. We were doing a ghost hunting show and people were emailing us saying, you should do it like they do it on Ghost Hunters, or you should do it like they do it on Ghost Adventures. And we looked at it and said, then why wouldn't we just watch that show?
Yeah, no.
Exactly, right?
Actually, they said we should hang ourselves with our own underwear and die in a pool of shit or something. It was terrible.
Yeah, no. And that they were going to find us and poison us.
Yeah. That was a terrible experience, Tyler.
Yeah, it is what it is. People are silly, and I think it's more even advanced now with the internet. People can say and type and, you know, put out whatever they want, and there's no accountability for it, you know.
Well, we had Dan
like
Aykroyd.
If you think you're so much better, go make a movie.
Yeah,
show it. You know, don't be criticizing and trying to take down everybody else.
Exactly.
I mean, it's art. It's just, we're supposed to enjoy it.
I remember
that's the problem. Nobody enjoys this shit anymore. They're all trying to slash the hell out of it. You know?
Yeah, man. Backseat quarterbacks, right? I put two things
together.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm off of my high horse now.
Yeah. No. Let's crush some more nerds in the basement. I like it. No, man. Because, you know, we had Dan Aykroyd on Dano, I don't know, the week before Ghostbusters, or the night before Ghostbusters premiered. And we didn't really have the cojones to to ask him about, I mean, you know, we didn't ask him about all that shit because we don't get into it. But, you know, Miss Dunst was, you had a bunch of people, the ladies that started, and I think they did a phenomenal job. You know, like you said, different experiences for different movies. It's art. People take away from it what they want. But I forget who it was, but one of them said because of the Twitters were getting so crushed and everything else, she almost had a nervous breakdown and they had to halt production and all this stuff. Could be a rumor. I don't know. But, you know, have you ever met anybody in the biz that, I mean, it gets to them that much, or does actors just stay off of Twitter and stuff like that when this is happening?
Well, I mean, look, everybody has feelings, you know? I mean, if you tell some whatever, say bad things to people, of course it's going to affect them. But, I mean, you have to have a pretty thick skin and let it roll off your back. I mean, anybody. I mean, when I read a tweet or see something and, you know, I'm like, oh, God, really? Why do they hate me? You know, I'm like, right. I didn't do anything to them. But that's the way society is now. It's just a bunch of people trying to tear people down for trying to make it, you know?
I just remember when I was in my early years, I was acting, and you'd get a role and you'd have that opening night and you'd wait for the next day for the reviews to come out, or even 2 days if they were going to come out on the Sunday paper. And you knew you shouldn't go open that paper and read that review, but you did it anyway. And you'd get down to where it was about you, and it'd be like, oh, should go hang himself, because you know, yeah. And you're like starting to cry, and it gets down to the end, and it's like the sets were passable, and you're like, well, there's at least one good thing in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but it's, then you're also, it's a critic that, you know, could just be bitter because they didn't get the opportunity to do something like that, you know?
Exactly.
So you got to just take it for what it is, right?
You do. You absolutely do. But anyway, screw them. You did an amazing job as Michael Myers. Everything you touch has momentum. You can see the passion. And, you know, all actors have passion, but with you, you can see the passion. You bring it out, you know, from Troy to the X-Men to Devil's Rejects, where really you were just big and scary and you gave people the creeps. But then Michael Myers, I mean, you're snapping necks and, you know, cashing checks. And that's what you brought through, man. That's what you brought through, and you did it perfect. You know, I know we're keeping you over here a little bit, Tyler. I want to ask about your production company. What is next for the great Tyler Mane? And, you know, how did the production company start?
Well, the reason why I started is because I didn't want to just be pigeonholed into these roles where I would be the big guy, you know, behind the mask or whatever.
Right.
Although I do like that. But I enjoy acting.
Yeah.
So I wanted to create roles that I could do more acting and create a character, and that's what we've been doing. I realized, though, when you create the character and you're the good guy, you end up getting your ass whooped most of the film before you get to do your comeback whooping. And I'm like, this is just not fulfilling to me.
Right.
Yeah. I'd rather be the guy whooping ass the whole day, you know, all film long, and then die quickly at the end or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that's the whole reason why I started up the production company. I wanted to create stories and tell stories and be able to do some more acting. And our next picture that we have is going to be a biker action movie. So it's, you know, we're branching out into different areas. We've got a period piece that we want to do. And the hardest thing nowadays is raising the funds to be able to do it. You know, and try and figure it out.
You know the first rule about making a biker film, right? Make sure your insurance.
Gotta have a bike.
Make sure your insurance is paid up.
Gotta have leather chaps.
Exactly.
Yeah, and lots of leather. But you know, you got Mane Entertainment going. What about the Mane Show? There's a monthly show you did on omfgeek.com. What's up with that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that we were starting to do. I enjoyed doing it. It's just, I mean, there's just so much production to it to create that little show that it just took up so much time. What I'm thinking about doing, and I might be doing a show here, I just purchased a place in Atlanta also, and so I go between L.A. and Atlanta, and I'm going to be probably setting up a little studio there and doing some live feeds and some things from there for main entertainment. So keep watching for that stuff too.
Oh yeah, definitely going to keep our eyes open for that. Nathan, do you have anything else for Tyler before we ask him to hold on the line for We Can Pay the Bills?
I just you know, being a geek, and you were talking about the comic books earlier, I just kind of wanted to know, what did you think of Sabretooth in the comic books?
I liked him. I thought he was a badass. Yeah. You know, that was another reason that I wanted to play him.
Growing up,
bullshit, you know what I mean?
Growing up being the dyslexic kid, like you were saying, comics gave me that out because I couldn't always read the book, and you know, and whatever. So you went to the comic.
Right. So you looked at the pictures.
Yeah. And I mean, the epic battles between, you know, Sabretooth and Wolverine were always such, like, you'd see them fighting on a cover and you had to get that one, you know, and when the later movies came out with you know, the Wolverine movies, did were you disappointed you didn't get the role to play Sabretooth in those?
No, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I was very lucky to do the role in the first one, and it is what it is. You know, they wanted to go in a different direction and do their thing. I don't think, you know, Liev Schreiber is a hell of an actor.
Oh yeah,
I just think that they should have had a taller person. you know, because Sabretooth is quite a bit taller than Wolverine, but you know, it was what it was, you know. I wasn't a producer on it, so I couldn't tell you.
I will give you this inside tip from being a geek myself. When the first movie came out, there was never a complaint about your portrayal of Sabretooth. Everybody loved your portrayal of Sabretooth. The later episodes, people were sitting there. Not only did they have complaints about Sabretooth, but the whole storyline. So everybody loved your Sabretooth. I got to say that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess that's, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know?
Yep.
So.
Well, Tyler, we're going to pay the bills and we're going to ask you to hold on the line for 1 second so we can talk to you after the show. Is that okay?
You got it, guys.
Thanks for coming on, brother. We support you in every way. If you need anything, call the Shadow Nation, man. We're here for you.
Thanks, guys. It's been fun.
All right. Stay on line 1 second. Nate, what do you say we pay these bills, man?
Oh, yeah. I guess we got to pay a few bills, right? Well, there's only a few.
Tyler knows about that. We're trying to get money here, guys. That's how it goes. Anyway, guys, Tyler Main, what can I say? Troy, Halloween. The man has done it all. X-Men. Anyway, check out his stuff. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, and all the above. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker. The world's listening. How about you? Check them out, Spreaker.com, Planet Paranormal, and, of course, Geeky Antics Network. Serious geeks and silly fun, geekyantics.net. Attentive Home Healthcare, good people, ready to help the ones you love. AttentiveHHC.com and the SYL Project. Give, share, everybody needs love. Check them out, thesylproject.org. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.